This is Sound Ideas. Prairie Fire Theater puts on the musical Secret Garden next weekend in the Twin Cities. Music director Lev Ivanov, Abby Naden, who plays the young orphan Mary Lennox, and director Kristen Monson are here to talk about it. Kristen, what makes it such a special ethereal production?
For anybody who read the original novel, The Secret Garden, everyone that I've spoken to recently says, oh, I loved that book when I was growing up. I loved reading it. And more females than males, but some males too that read it. It has that gothic Victorian feel of mystery and ghosts and spirits and the beauty of the story of kind of the rebirth of not just a garden, but the rebirth of these very sad people, very ill people that become well, become whole because of this, you know, child that is kind of thrown into their lives who brings that life to them.
Had you read the book, Abby?
Yes, I had. And I read it right before I auditioned, and all I could think was, because Mary can sometimes become a little too bratty, but she is a child, and she's a child who's pretty much lost everything, and she just comes into this new place that she's never seen before, and she knows nobody, and she sort of finds things to hold on to, this garden that she decides to take in and care for. And I think that sort of helps her find her place in this new and terrifying reality.
Lev, let's talk about the music. How does the music fit with this spooky and yet eventually very affirming tale?
Sure. Well, I think it's really wonderful. The music is great. So many wonderful melodies and themes. And we've got these, I don't want to give out too much for those that haven't seen or heard the show, but many people have. So it's got these links between the past and the present. And the music really, complements, the characters that are in the show. There are these kind of a little musical, short musical inserts of, different memories and different things and different events that happen. For example, when we talk about Mary's talking about India, there's this little kind of a bell about India. So it's got these interesting links to to the storyline.
Is the fact that so many flashbacks or so many moments of the magical realism happen in the musical part of it, what does that do for the director and for the actors, giving those non-real moments musical emphasis?
That's a really great question, and we've actually been working on that from the very beginning, knowing when there's a lot of times when spirits from the past are milling about, and we've talked about where is your focus? Can you see everybody that's around you? And how do you interact with the people that are alive if you're not alive? And I think we've found some interesting ways, because those dreamers, those storytellers, they tell the story, so they move the story forward as the musical goes on, and so they're very important in that storytelling aspect. But it is interesting to find where you fit and how the focus fits, because you see all these people at the beginning of the story as alive and happy and well, and then later in the story you see them shepherding Mary and the others through the rest of the story.
Lev, is a lot of musicals have less of an emphasis on the music as moving the story forward. They are set pieces to show a specific moment in time rather than assisting the action. Am I way off base there, or is this something a little unusual in that regard?
Well, I think you're, it's kind of 50-50, because some of the musical are close to something like an opera, and some are, like we all know Gilbert and Sullivan, and that sort of has its own style. This was obviously composed in 1989 and first produced in 1991, I believe, on Broadway. Also was composed by a woman composer, which is really wonderful, because, in classical music we have these old white guys from Europe, and I'm really happy that we can celebrate not only wonderful music, but something that is composed by a woman, especially relative, you know, in today's time.
Is it just good music, or is she, is her work somehow different from late 80s, early 90s Broadway composers who are men?
Well, you know, it's interesting to sort of compare those things. I mean, we look at the gender, and we look at, you know, when we look at music, we look at music itself. And it's, of course, you have to judge something on the merit. You know, we always look at the, you know, when I open a score, I don't think about first who was a composer. I look at the music. But it's just wonderful to have that aspect, you know, today, to celebrate women and celebrate wonderful music as well.
Abby, you're playing Mary Lennox. What is your favorite song, your favorite musical number?
Well, one of my personal favorites that shows Mary really as a character is a song that's at the beginning of the second act, and Mary is singing about, you know, I need a place where I can be who I imagine myself to be.
Where I can whisper what I know, where I can whisper who I like, and where I go to see them. I need a place where I can hide, where no one sees my life inside, where I can make my...
And she says, I need a place where I can hide, where no one sees my life inside. And I just really connect to that, because she's been in this terribly scary situation of, I'm in this strange house in a place I've never been before with people who really don't seem to want me. And just to have a place where you can forget about all that and just be who you imagine yourself to be. And I think that's sort of a comforting sentiment that I've connected to.
I'm just listening to Abby speak, and, you know, when you're casting this show and you're trying to cast a character who's 10 years old, and you think, how am I going to cast an actual 10-year-old to play this part that is going to be able to convey that kind of sentiment? And so I've worked with Abby before, and I knew her. And so when she came in to audition, Abby is very petite, so she looks very youthful, even though she is not 10 years old. I think she's such an intelligent actress that she just does a wonderful job of bringing innocence to this role and that kind of 10-year-old spirit, but she has the maturity to understand what it takes to do a very difficult piece like this.
Happy 16th birthday, by the way, Abby.
Thank you.
There are several really ear-popping duets in the show. Each of you give your favorites, would you?
Well, I think a lot of people know Lily's Eyes. I think it's probably one of the most popular songs from the show. So I would say we have two incredible actors, Noel Jones and Blake Miller, who play Archibald and Dr. Craven. And it's just one of those kind of Broadway, dramatic ballad duets. And to hear these two men with these really beautiful voices sing it, to me, every time I hear them sing it, I just... go, I can't wait for people to hear these voices.
I think of her.
From death she casts her spell. All night we hear her sighs. And now a girl has come who has her eyes. She has her eyes. The girl has Lily's hazel eyes. Those eyes that saw him happy long ago. Those eyes that gave him life and hope he'd never known. How can he see the girl and miss those hazel?
She has her eyes. The girl has Lily's hazel eyes. Those eyes that closed and left me all alone. Those eyes.
I think we're really lucky with the cast that we have. this year, just what Kristen said. I agree on the Lily's Eyes. It's one of the, you know, one of the highlights of the musical. But I think also there are numbers that are not just duets. Like we have a quartet number with, you know, Rose, Albert, Lily, and I think it's Archie. But it's a it's really powerful number there where, you know, sort of, again, it's the link between the past and the present, between the dead and the present, and it's a really powerful number. I really enjoy that. I mean, it's always hard for me to pick a favorite because I just look at the whole thing.
Happy, what's the favorite not sung by you?
My favorite is probably "How Could I Ever Know," because this is when Archibald is mourning for his wife, and I didn't realize this about until maybe a couple days into rehearsal, but I was looking through the script, and it said something along the lines of, "Lily and Archibald embrace their forgiveness complete." And I was like, forgiveness? Why is this forgiveness? And there's this thought of, Lily isn't saying, get over me. She's apologizing for leaving Archibald in such an important time in his life when they have a son to care for. And she's saying, how could I have ever known that I would have loved you like I do and like I did? And there's just this powerful sentiment of, I know that I'm gone and I'm sorry. That's not something that I had a choice. And it's just so beautiful. And the music to go along with it just matches perfectly.
It also goes back to the point you were making about these moments between people who are present and people who have already passed. And that duet is between a living person and a memory of someone that he loved. But they get to interact in that song and actually embrace and touch. And it's a little tearjerker. I agree, Abby.
Even the villain of the piece, Dr. Craven, finds some sort of redemption at the end. How does that come to pass?
It comes very quickly at the end. I think he realizes in his attempt to protect his brother, in his attempt in his mind to protect and shelter and shield Colin, the son, and his brother Archibald from society, that he has actually stopped their growth. To use the growing metaphor again.
And his own.
Yes, and his own growth. And in the end, I think he realizes what the impact was of his choices.
Some late 80s, early 90s musicals have not stood the test of time. What makes this one enduring and popular at the community theater level?
I think it's this combination of fantasy and reality, you know, and this, again, it's this link between the past and the present, because you know this garden, you know, it's like a fantasy that we all often think about, the world, the perfect world that we want to build around ourselves, right? But in fact, all the emotions that characters experience in the show, they're all real: mourning, death, love, hope, you know, all of these, healing, right? Is lesson of healing at the end, and I think it makes it kind of special. I always try to look for, you know, emotions in the music and how the music can relate to our everyday lives.
Lev Ivanov is the music director, Kristen Monson the director, and Abby Naden plays Mary Lennox in the Prairie Fire Theater production of The Secret Garden, playing August 2nd through the 5th at Illinois Wesleyan University's Presser Hall. Free tickets are available for children under 12 during Saturday and Sunday matinee performances through a grant from the Illinois Prairie Community Foundation. You're listening to Hold On from The Secret Garden.